We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers. Ronnie remembers. Ronnie remembers.
You don't have to go underwater to find music. You just have to go to the beach.
By the sea.
By the sea.
By the beautiful sea.
You and me.
You and me.
Oh, how happy we'll be.
When each wave comes a-rolling in.
We will duck or swim.
And we'll float and fool around the water.
Over and under.
And then up for air.
Pa is rich.
Ma is rich.
So now what do we care?
I love to be beside your side.
Beside the sea.
Beside the seaside. By the beautiful sea.
I'm Ronnie Allen. It is my pleasure to introduce a Jersey girl who, by the beautiful sea, became a beauty pageant winner, and she also became a Nashville recording artist who released several singles that got plenty of attention, and every one of them included Elvis Presley's legendary drummer, DJ Fontana. And here's an example.
Turn on your radio and tune in the dial. And listen in to the voice with a smile. They'll entertain you, he'll really make your day. He's your swinging DJ on Station USA.
She has so many interesting stories to tell. Now, are you ready, Ronnie Allen drummer? Welcome, Madeline Rogers.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I am fine, and how are you?
I'm great, and happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you so very much. I did want to mention that I've done more than 100 interviews for the Jersey Girl Sing website. This one is a first for me for a couple of reasons. This is the first time that I've interviewed a beauty pageant winner, and it's also the first time that I am conducting an interview on my birthday. Today is July 8th, 2015, and I am now 39 years old, just like Jack Benny was. Now, you've been a Jersey girl, and you still are, but you were born in Philadelphia.
That's right, Ronnie. But I spent a good bit of my time growing up in New Jersey, down on Long Beach Island.
Now, you also grew up in Upper Darby, which is in Pennsylvania.
Yes, it's in Delaware County, outside of Philadelphia.
And you went to high school in Villanova, and the high school you went to was...
Notre Dame Academy. It's in Villanova, near the college.
Now, why do some people say Notre Dame, and others say Notre Dame?
Well, because if we didn't say Notre Dame de Namur, the nuns would get really annoyed with us. Most people, it's easier to say Notre Dame.
You also did attend some college, right?
Yes, I attended Drexel University.
In 1953, you appeared on a TV show hosted by one of the biggest names in the history of the record business. I'm talking about legendary band leader Paul Whiteman, the man who was dubbed the King of Jazz in the early 20s. He had a Saturday evening dance and talent show called Paul Whiteman's TV Teen Club, which originated on WFIL in Philadelphia and featured teenagers from that city and the surrounding area. How old were you?
I think I was about 8 years old.
How did you get on that show?
My manager heard about it. He had a regular on his show called Junie Keegan. She's about my age.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened that weekend, but she wasn't going to make it, and I got the opportunity.
He had a 10-piece band, I believe?
I believe so. I didn't count them.
Oh.
I was little, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, that might have been 8, 9, 11, or 12. Does it really matter? No. Do you remember what song you did?
I believe I did two songs. As I recall, it was the Trolley Song and Chattanooga Choo Choo.
You were trained to do those songs.
Yes.
Pun intended.
Yes.
See, Trolley, Choo Choo.
I get it.
Okay. By the way, Dick Clark was on that station, and he eventually would host American Bandstand.
I actually met Dick Clark.
Really?
Yes, before he was known. He was that day, I don't know about every day, but every week, but he was hosting a children's show, and he was pulling on my hair in the elevator.
A real hair-raising experience. And speaking of an experience, and this was a wonderful one, in 1953 and 1954, you performed for the USO.
Yes, I belonged to a troop, and we would go two and three times a week to Fort Dix, McGuire, Wrightstown, and once in a while Lakehurst, and entertain the different units, put on a show. There was a group of young people and a lady that was head of it, and we'd go downtown and meet her, and she would drive us to New Jersey in a bus. And I got some certificates from the USO. It was wonderful because they loved us and they really appreciated the shows that we put on.
What kind of songs did you do? Did you do songs like you did on the Paul Whiteman show?
More pop stuff, and I used to dance. I had routines.
Did you take dancing lessons?
I did. I got kicked out of my first dance class when I was 3 1/2.
You know my next question. One word. Why?
Because I was pulling the hula skirts off the other little girls.
Shame on you.
I guess I wasn't old enough.
But happily, you grew up and became a more mature Madeline.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're going to skip forward to the year 1961. This is a New Jersey story. We're talking about Long Beach Island, and that's what the beauty pageant was called, Miss Magic Long Beach Island. But let me ask you first, you had a job as a car hop?
There was a drive-in restaurant near our house. It was called the Jetstream, and it was a pretty cool place. It had, like, a screened-in area and an outside, and I was a car hop. You know, typical of that time, mm-hmm. It was like fast food stuff, burgers, pasta, hot dogs, steaks, you know.
And were you living in Jersey at that time?
Yes, I only lived a street away.
Was the town called Long Beach?
North Beach Haven.
Around that time, you met Governor Minor.
That was after I won the title.
We'll now put the horse in front of the cart and get to that. Somewhere along the line, you found out that there was going to be a competition. Did you find out this information from reading a local newspaper?
I did, but it was very well known. It was a big thing. You know, it was run by the Port of Trade, which is PR, and the merchants got involved, and it drew a lot of people.
And this beauty pageant was called Miss Magic Long Beach Island?
Yes.
What does the magic part of that refer to?
The magic is the island itself. It just has this healing, wonderful, mystical feel about it. Any time over the years that we ever had company to come stay at our house, they all said the same thing. It's like you leave your troubles and worries behind when you're there. It's just so healing. And I think it's the ocean, the fresh air. You can hear the ocean at night. It's just absolutely beautiful.
The weather was, for the most part, really nice most of the time?
Yes, very nice. A lot of times, it would be raining on the mainland, and we could see across the bay. You could see the rain, and it wouldn't come over. We're 6 miles out at sea.
Before you actually participated directly in the contest, somewhere along the line, there had to be either an audition process or a screening out process. We had a pre-interview, and you told me about this. There really was no audition. It was kind of a screening out process based upon something that you had to mail. What exactly did you do to get involved in this particular contest?
Well, the way the contest was held, they picked a weekly winner to a total of 10, and they would start in June, and any young woman that wanted to compete would submit a photograph and a little bio, and they gave us forms, you know, to fill out and told us what they wanted. And then you wouldn't know until the Beach Haven Times came out on Thursday, and that Thursday, I didn't even want to look. And my mom got the paper, and there was my photo.
This was over like a 10-week period. They had 10 winners that would go into the finals.
Yes, I won the first week. I was lucky.
Really?
I was lucky.
My gosh. What was your reaction when you opened the paper and saw your picture? Did you fall on the floor or what?
Well, I was excited because I had been in other beauty pageants, but this one meant so much to me, and I really wanted it. So I knew I had a chance.
But you did have to wait another 9 weeks to stew about what was going to happen next.
Well, that's true.
You had to wait for the next 9 winners.
And each week to see, you know, the girl that was chosen and who you would be competing against.
So describe that contest. Was there a big audience? Was it covered on radio and TV?
It was covered on a local radio station. That year it was held at Weta's Hotel and Restaurant on the island. And it started with a motorcade, a few hours, and we went from one end of the island to the other, and we would stop in each little town, and the mayor would come out and greet us, and we all got gifts from the mayor. And we went from the south end all the way up to the north end, which is where Barnegat Light is, the lighthouse. And then we went back to a place called the Seashell, and they gave us a light supper, and then back up to Weta's and get ready for the competition. And there was a few hundred people there.
What were the events during the competition?
The bathing suit, evening gown, and a personality interview.
Do you remember the personality questions that you were asked?
No, I don't remember. I think I was so excited.
And also, of course, it was 54 years ago. Do you recall if everybody was asked the same question or questions?
I believe so, yes.
Before they announced you as the winner, did they announce a runner-up?
Yes, they did. Her name was Carol Taylor.
And once they announced her as the runner-up, you held your breath, and then they said your name as the winner.
That's right, and I couldn't believe I won. I was so excited. I actually was crying. And I remember the previous queen, her name was Lois Janessa, the beautiful brunette girl. And she crowned me, and the crown was falling off my head. And they had the red robe with the white fur and velvet, and it was very pretty, and the roses. And they handed me these three $100 bills. And I had to walk down this little runway, and I dropped the money. And my parents were sitting near the aisle, and I remember my dad jumped up and grabbed the money so it wouldn't get lost.
Good move.
It was funny.
Was there any music? I mean, I know Burt Parks was not involved in this, but I mean, did they have a song or anything as you were walking down the aisle?
You know, I don't remember.
You were in just such a daze.
Yes. I'm sure they did. There wasn't an orchestra or anything there, but they had some method of music.
This was Miss Magic Long Beach Island, Madeline Rogers. That's how it sounded. Fabulous. I understand that there is a publication called Echoes of LBI that you are involved with. I read an article in one of the more recent issues, specifically the 2009 issue, in which you tell all about your experience back in 1961, which you've described here. Are you still involved with this magazine?
Yes, I am. I actually write a series of all the former queens, so I've written several articles. I'm still looking for some of them. It's a beautiful magazine. It's a very high-end coffee table magazine is what they tend to call it, you know, and it's like a keepsake. It's kind of fun tracking them down and seeing what they've done with their life. And the one girl, a couple years after me, she became a minister, and she worked a lot in Atlantic City with the homeless. It was interesting.
Do they still run the contest?
Oh, no. 1976 was the last year. I was a judge that year. I don't know what happened. I think it was some kind of a thing between the business associations. And then beauty queen stuff was getting out of vogue, you know.
We're going to skip now from the beauty pageant to your recording career. And during the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about and playing both sides of each of three separate singles that you released. That's a total of six tracks. And you wrote four of them all by yourself.
That's correct.
You didn't have a co-writer. Your co-writer was Madeline Rogers.
It was Madeline Rogers, and they're all my own creations.
And the two that are not your creations are well-known songs. I understand that this all started in Princeton, New Jersey.
Yes, I recorded some demo songs of my own writings. I had started out by mailing and submitting, and it's hard, so I decided to go to Nashville, and I did, and pounded the sidewalks.
What was your main goal, to promote yourself as a songwriter, or as a singer, or as a singer-songwriter?
You know, I love singing, but I was gearing more toward the writing, but then when I went down there, I ended up with a recording contract. I went from place to place, I left tapes. Some I could go back and pick up in a day or two, you know, that kind of recycling thing. And I heard back from some people. After I came home, I had a contact from an Arthur Thomas, who was a producer in Nashville, and he liked my work, and he wanted to record me as the artist.
Arthur Thomas, you generally called him Art, right?
Yeah, you're right about that. I basically called him Art.
So how did your contract come about?
Well, we went back and forth. We agreed on some songs. I guess I sent him some more stuff, and we made arrangements for me to go down and record.
And Art Thomas got you the deal with Bright Star Records?
That's right. He did.
You recorded 7 tracks, and 6 of them were released as 3 separate singles. Before we talk about and play each of the 6 released recordings, I'd like to mention something very important. You worked with Elvis Presley's legendary drummer, who reportedly played on over 450 tracks, first on Sun and then on RCA, with the King of Rock and Roll. And he was on all of your sessions. What's his name?
DJ Fontana.
And you worked with other very respected musicians?
I did. I worked with Spunky Keels. He played with Waylon Jennings, and he worked on the Ramblin' Man album.
Bunky was a keyboardist, right?
Yes, he was.
You also played with Jim Reeves.
He played with Jim Reeves. And Leo Jackson was the guitarist. He played with Jim, and he was on the road with him, too, until he died in that plane accident.
Yes. And Leo also played banjo.
Yes, he was very good. Very easy to work with. There was Jim Baker, too, and he was very well known down there. He worked with an awful lot of names. He played steel guitar. Really good musician.
And was there a 5th musician?
Bass player, but I don't recall his name.
Were these 5 guys on all of the recordings?
Yes, they were the same people.
How many recording sessions did it take to record all 7 songs, if we include the 6 that were released, plus the unreleased one?
2.
Well, I'm sure when you folks out there hear these songs, you will agree that those were 2 very productive sessions. And right now, we're going to talk about each of the 6 released recordings, and we're going to play them as well. Starting with 2 songs written by Madeline Rogers. What can you tell me about I Want to Be What You Want?
Well, the song itself kind of is self-explanatory. I got the idea. I was up late one night watching a movie, and the events that went on inspired the idea in my head, and I sat there and I just wrote the whole song. I always write lyrics first.
So after you did that, you went to your co-writer, Madeline Rogers, and she wrote the music.
That's right.
You ask me now to be yours, to live my life with you. How long I hoped you'd say those words and make my dreams come true. I thought it out and now I know this love of instead of what you've got. I wanna be what you want and not what you've got. But if I could be what you want, then our love would never stop. You've left your home and family for me to have your name. What makes you think in time to come that I won't be the same? The same complaints, excuses, words that made you turn and run. I'm so afraid that I'll be what you've got instead of what you want. I wanna be what you want and not what you've got. But if I could be what you want, then it tears me up to turn you down, but hon, I know it's right to say goodbye with the memory of the way we feel tonight. Untouched by future unkind words and deeds that hurt a lot, 'cause then I wouldn't be what you want, I'd be what you've got. I wanna be what you want and
Madeline Rogers and I Want to Be What You Want. A nice, peppy song.
Yes.
That was one side of your very first single on Bright Star Records. And the other side, which we're going to be playing next, is a definite change of pace, which is called Mysterious Dark Eyes. And it's one that you almost didn't get to record.
Well, at that time, Art Thomas had a partner, Paul Perry. He was pushing the musicians a lot, and I think they were not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So we finished I Want to Be What You Want and then a Prisoner song, and we had 13 minutes left, and they were going to leave. And I really wanted to do Mysterious Dark Eyes. So they did it for me. I played it and sang it for Leo. He made all the little charts that they do. You know, they don't read. And
really? I'm surprised at that.
No, they don't read. That's the difference in there and some of the other, like New York and all. It's such a feeling with the music,
wow.
You know? Very creative. They put their heads together and said, okay, you do the intro, I'll do the turnaround, we'll do this and that. And they said to me, okay, we're doing it one time only. And that's what you hear.
These were aggravated musicians. And an aggravated co-producer.
Yeah.
Everybody was aggravated, but you can never tell because the end result turned out really good in one take.
One take.
So what can you tell me about the song?
Mysterious Dark Eyes is about a karmic love affair where one of the partners is not free. And the lyrics reflect the emotional response to the couple being apart.
I understand that there was a disc jockey at a radio station that I used to work for, WBCB, which is in Levittown, Pennsylvania. His name is John Brown. He used to play Mysterious Dark Eyes, and actually he said something about it. What's the story behind what he said?
John Brown really liked that song. He used to always comment that he felt like it was a really sexy song, which I hadn't thought about when I wrote it.
Now that you thought about it, was it?
I can see where he got that idea.
Mysterious dark eyes, oh how I need you to be here with your hand in mine to hold me and warm.
Oh.
that was Madeline Rogers with Mysterious Dark Eyes. And Madeline, now we're going to move to your second release on Bright Star Records. And the A-side is one that you did not write, talking about Sugar Time, which was a number one pop music hit for the McGuire sisters back in 1958. Now, on the McGuire sisters' record, there was actually a male chorus in the background singing along with them. They may as well have been the McGuire brothers. Sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening. But in contrast, you only had female backup singers, right?
That's right. They actually laid those tracks on later.
How did you decide to record Sugar Time?
My producer, Art Thomas, he suggested I find an old song to redo, a shorter song that a DJ could fit in when he wanted to move things around or take a break. So I listened and listened, and I found that, and I really like it, and it's a fun song.
Sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening, sugar at the supper time. Be my little sugar and love me all the time. Honey in the morning, honey in the evening, honey at the supper time. Be my little honey and love me all the time.
Put your arms around me and swear by stars above, you'll be mine forever in heaven of love.
Sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening, sugar at supper time. You can't get much sweeter than that. And on the flip side of this, your second single, it's a recording that is quite a change of pace. Lonely is Living My Life Without You. And this is a song with plenty of emotion.
It was based on a real life story of someone that I had helped. And they went through a bad time, and I got the idea for the song.
Today I woke and found you gone, gone from my life like a lost summer song. Wish I could sleep, wake up and then find you here beside me again. For lonely so many things that aren't there, thoughts and feelings with no one to share. An empty bed when day's work is through. Lonely is living my life without you. I was foolish, I know, not to see what gold, but the love in your eyes had blinded me so. Time takes its toll, and everything ends. And here once more, I'm lonely again. Lonely in so many things that aren't there. Thoughts and feelings with no one to share. An empty day, one day's work is through. Lonely is living my life without you. Be long, Lord, help me make it now that he's gone. The laughter still lingers, fills up my mind, and there it will haunt till the turning of time. For lonely is so many things that aren't there, thoughts and feelings with no one to share, an empty bed one day.
lonely is living my life without you. Madeline Rogers wrote it, and Madeline Rogers sang it. And the next record we're going to hear, which is one side of her third single, is this song, which she wrote about me. Well, maybe not exactly, but kind of. You see, I've been a disc jockey for quite some time. In fact, my first DJ job was back in 1963. But I don't want to talk about that one. I've worked for several radio stations, and I guess you can call me a swinging DJ. And Madeline, you wrote this song called Swingin' DJ on Station USA. And this one came out in 1976, the bicentennial year. Well, what can you tell us about it?
I had met so many DJs traveling around promoting my music, and I decided that they needed their own song. So based on what I was watching and learning, I come up with that, dedicated to the DJs for the bicentennial.
It's a very catchy song, but there's a part of the lyric that you didn't consider controversial when you wrote it. However, some radio stations did. Am I on the right frequency here?
Well, that is true, and the song got banned on some southern radio stations.
How come?
There's a part in there that talks about bringing the DJ home and taking him to bed at night, and there you'll find that DJ, he's really out of sight. And I meant the music, but...
Turn on your radio and tune in the dial, and listen in to the voice with a smile. He'll entertain you, he'll really make your day. He's your swinging DJ on Station USA. You in the morning at the early sunrise. It tutors your alarm as you open up your eyes. He's company at breakfast, he brings the latest news. Sometimes he lends you laughter as he voices all his views. So turn on the radio and tune in the dial, and listen in to the voice with a smile. He'll entertain you, he'll really make your day. He's your swinging DJ on Station USA. When you work, no matter where you are, put him in your pocket and cruise him in your car. Bring him home to dinner and then to bed at night, and there you'll find a DJ, he's really out of sight. So turn on the radio and tune in the dial, and listen in to the voice with a smile. He'll entertain you, he'll really make your day. He's your swinging DJ on Station USA. Working in a world of mics and phones and tapes, of ads to pay the bills and paperwork he hates. Ways of witty words that really help to hide the fact that he's a solo show, the lonely times inside. So turn on the radio and tune in the dark, and listen in to the voice with a smile. He'll entertain you, he'll really make your day. He's your swinging DJ on Station USA.
Swingin' DJ on Station USA, Madeline Rogers. Very catchy song indeed. I understand that when that record was out, you did a performance in front of a lot of people across from the Philadelphia Museum of Art.
Yes, I did, for the bicentennial. It was called The American Way. It was all set up across from the art museum, and it was hosted by Gene Shea, and it was a folk festival. I was at the end of the folk park, because I'm not really a folk singer. Behind me were Blood, Sweat, and Tears and Sister Sledge. It was overlooking the Schuylkill. It was really pretty.
They had a big crowd there, I guess.
40,000.
Wow.
We did several songs. One of them was Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. And the crowd just loved it, and it was a great reaction. They sang with us and swayed, and it was just a lot of fun.
To close the show, we're going to flip the swinging DJ over and play your recording of a classic song that we mentioned earlier. And if you, the listener, have a good memory, then you know exactly what it is. But first, I have a few more questions for Madeline. Now, you're presently living in Pennsylvania, but residence-wise, you're still a Jersey girl because you have a family home in New Jersey.
On Long Beach Island. I live in Bucks County, and I also am down there a good bit of the time. I like to write there because it's so peaceful, very quiet, you know.
And a little bird told me that you're also writing some children's books.
I am. I have a series of children's stories. It's about these two cats that happen to be mine. Beautiful Maine Coon and Chinchilla Cat. Two different personalities and all their adventures at the zoo, at the circus, at the beach. And the last one I did, I really like. It's called The Mystery of Barnegat Light. And it's about the two of them up at the lighthouse and a storm. And they get in there and they see a ghost, a pirate. And Jeremiah Sprague, who was the great-great-grandfather of my neighbor at the shore, he was the captain of the Barnegat Lighthouse, the one that fell into the water. So this was his ghost, and he had saved the pirate, and the pirate had given him these gold coins for saving his life. And the coins were hidden behind an old wooden cabinet on the wall. Over the time, these cats somehow found the coins, and it goes on and on. All these stories have a lesson in them for children.
What are your cats' names?
Tara Tiger Tufts and Chessie.
Are these books available right now?
They should be available soon. We're working on the illustrations.
They're going to be available on Amazon and other online sites?
Mm-hmm.
Madeline, I wish you a world of success with those books. We're going to close the show right now with the other side of Swinging DJ on Station USA. And believe me, folks, this one is quite different from that one. The song was written and originally sung by Vernon Dalhart in 1924. And that version reportedly sold more than 7 million copies worldwide. Others who have recorded it include Hank Snow, Bill Monroe, Eddie Arnold, Brenda Lee, and Madeline Rogers. How did you decide to record it, Madeline?
I always liked that song. I heard Eddie Arnold do it, and I always thought it was beautiful. And when I needed to come up with an oldie, I discovered that was one of the first huge country hits in the 20s. And it is beautiful.
Madeline, it's been my pleasure to talk to you, and I wish you many more years of health, happiness, and success.
Thank you so much, Ronnie. I really enjoyed it, and I wish you the same.
Oh, I wish I had someone to love me, someone to call all around me.
We'll listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers. Ronnie remembers. Ronnie remembers.
Well, that's the show. And now I have a bonus track. This is one of the 7 recordings that Madeline did during her 2 very productive sessions, and it's the only one that was never released. Like 4 of the songs that you heard during the show, this one is a Madeline Rogers original composition. And it was selected by Barbara Mandrell and a panel of country music professionals as an award winner in the 1980 Kentucky Fried Chicken National Country Music Songwriting Contest, singled out among 15,000 entries. Here's Madeline singing Alone, So Alone.
It's happened, he's left me alone. So alone, and now how I miss him. Yes, now he's gone. My heart won't accept it. He preys on my mind, and there he lingers all of the time. He told me me, he'd never forget all that had been from the day we first met. But words grow so cold as time passes on, and the more I think of him, the more he But now he's left me and I'm so alone. I reach out to touch him and I know he's gone. I tell myself what I did was best, to let him go when he felt his own. And if love is real, I'll come back in time, or else I know that he never was mine. But now he's really left me, and I'm so alone. And now how I miss him. Yes, now that he's gone, my heart won't accept it. He preys on my mind, and there he lingers all of the time.